כן, פרשת חיי שרה, Justin, וידאו, אוקיי. פרשת חיי שרה is the parasha where we are told about the passing of Sarah and the passing of Abraham. It's the last parasha that discusses Abraham and Sarah, part of it, not even all of it. But it starts with the fact that Sarah passed away and was buried, and it ends with the passing of Abraham. Let's see, what does the Torah tell us about the passing of Sarah, and what does it tell us about the passing of Abraham? So we are on page 107, the beginning, the top of the page, verse number one. Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, 20 years and 7 years, the years of Sarah's life. Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to eulogize Sarah and to be buried here. So if we look at it, it's like the sum up of the life of Sarah. The last sentences that are told to us about Sarah. So what are we told here? Her age, when she passed away, and the place of her burial. Okay, later on, the end of the pasuk that I read speaks already about Abraham, who eulogized Sarah, who cried over her. But about Sarah herself, we are told two things. The length of her life, and the fact that she was buried in Hebron. That's all. Now let's go now to the place where the Torah discusses the passing of Abraham. It's page 121. At the end of our week's portion. Okay, almost the end. 121, the Torah says as follows. It's verse number 7. Abraham's life, which he lived 100 years, 70 years, and 5 years, and Abraham expired and died at a good old age, mature and content. And he was gathered to his people. So if we compare the two things, what is told to us about Abraham? Also the length of his life, basically. The fact that he was 170 years, right? And he was content, right? He was really an old person. The fact that Abraham was old at his death is mentioned again on page 109. After discussing the death and the burial of Sarah, we have another chapter where Abraham sends Eliezer to find a wife for Rivka. And the chapter starts with, now Abraham was old. It's 109, chapter 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old and on his own years. And Hashem had blessed Abraham with everything, including a son, says Rashi, and that's why he has to find a wife for him, right? So we are told again that Abraham was old, right? Now, if you look at the language, it's written Baba Yamim, like came with his days. Now, why is this the way the Torah sums up the life of Sarah and the life of Abraham? Before we go into the why, I want to add a piece of information. There is a Midrash in our week's Parsha, in Midrash Rabban, that discusses the length of life of Sarah. And the Midrash tells us a very interesting thing, that Rabbi Akiva was teaching his students. We mentioned it in the past, was teaching his students, and he wanted to awaken them. He felt that they are not fully with him. So he told them what gave Esther the ability to rule over 127 countries. Let the daughter of Sarah, says the Midrash, who lived 127 years, be a queen over 127 countries. Very interesting. Just because it's 127 and 127, we connect the two. Obviously, there must be an inner connection between the two things, something of meaning. On the Pshat level, Rashi brings it, and it's based on the Midrash, when the Torah counts the days of Sarah and the days of Abraham, the emphasis is on the fact that they utilized every moment of their life. that always, under all circumstances, at good times, at difficult times, whatever was taking place, they did whatever they were supposed to do. Every moment of their life counted, every moment of their life fulfilled its purpose. And it's learned from the fact that the Torah discusses it. The Torah doesn't say Sarah lived 127 years, but she lived 100 years, 20 years, and 20 years and 7 years. And this detailed way of discussing it compares her at the age of 100 to the age of 20 to the age of 7. Without going into all the ways it learned from the Psukim, but from the Psukim we learn that they utilized every moment. The same with Abraham. He came with these days. Yeah, he came at age. This will be the translation if we do it in based on the concept. But if you literally translate it, Baba Yami means he came with his days, meaning every day was counted, every day he did whatever he had to do. Fine. So that's on the simple level, right? But we still did not explain what's the connection between Esther and Sarah. Between the length of life of Sarah and the fact that Esther became a queen over 127 countries, right? So we leave it open, we'll come to it again later. When the Torah discusses the end of life of Sarah and Abraham and gives us statements of summing up, so to speak, their life, it's the time to look at their life on a general level. We learn different details about their life in the Parshiot from Lech Lecha till here. The 10 tests of Abraham, things about Sarah, her life circumstances over the years and so on. But now we want to look at it on a grand level. Okay? Look at the whole picture and we'll see what we find out when we look at the totality. We'll see things that we didn't see when we looked at each and every one of them separately. Like always, this is the case. When you look at the general picture, you get insights that you would have not have if you would have looked on at it, you know, based on the details, just detail by detail, okay? So I would divide the life of Abraham and Sarah to two parts based on what the Torah itself tells us. And I want to refer you to page 73. Yes. In page 73, the Torah discusses the commandment to Abraham to circumcise himself. And while discussing this, the Torah tells us more. Hashem tells Abraham the following. Verse number 4. Okay? Verse number 4, Hashem tells Abraham, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be a father of a multitude of nations. Your name shall no longer be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. That's what the Torah tells us about Abraham. So we have two stages in the life of Abraham. A stage where he was called Abraham up till this point, up till Brit Milah. Abraham accomplished a lot in this stage of his life, tremendous amount, but he's not yet complete, not yet perfect, did not come yet to the top of what he can and did accomplish. And the Torah indicates it in verse number 1, okay, when Abraham was 99 years old, Hashem appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Kel Shakai, walk before me and be perfect. So he is commanded now to become perfect, means he's not yet perfect. Not in terms of he didn't fulfill his role, but he did not finish yet. Yet there is another stage. And what's the stage? Circumcision. And the fact that he became complete expresses itself by the fact that his name is changed. He's not anymore Avram. Now he's Abraham. And the Torah tells us, what does it mean? Okay, why? Ki az hamon goyim netaticha. You will become now, you are becoming now the father of a multitude of nations. Going back to the Hebrew, Avram, and that's based on Rashi, Avram is a combination of two words, Av, a father of, Aram. Aram is the nation where Avram came from Or Kasdim, right? So up till now, you were like a father to one nation, the nation you grew up with, okay? But now you become Av Hamon Goyim, if we add the hey to Avraham. So now it's a combination of two other words. The first one is the same, Av, father of, and Ham is Hamon Goyim, a multitude of nations. Very interesting. Now we know that in the Torah, a name is an indication of a potential, a definition. If there is a change in the name of Avraham, it means that something essential is changing now for Avraham and his life mission. Okay, so we'll keep it on hold for a second and go to the second page. In the same revelation, in verse number 15, the Torah tells us, and God said to Abraham, to Avraham, and now he's already Avraham, because his name was changed already, as for Sarai, your wife, do not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. Okay, so the same way that Hashem changes the name of Abraham, Hashem changes the name of Sarai. Up till now, she was Sarai, Sin Reish Yud, the last letter of her name was Yud, and now Hashem changes her name to Sarah with the Hey. The Yud is exchanged with the Hey, right? And the Torah says, if you go further, I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son through her. I will bless her, and she shall give his. She shall give rise to nations. Kings of people will rise from her. Okay? So it's a major change for Sarah too. And Rashi explains that Sarai, the Yud, means my. Sarah of myself, a king, a master of myself. And Sarah means a king for everybody, a master of everybody, right? Nations will come from her, kings will come out of her. A nation is coming out of her now, a nation of kings. So this change of Sarah and Abraham is a change for all generations. And our sages really say, Bnei Israel, kol Bnei Israel, Bnei Melachim Hema. All the Jewish people are children of kings. Meaning this quality of being the father or the king of multitudes, nations, or basically of the whole world, is a gift given to Abraham and Sarah. And like many other gifts, it's inherited, it's bequested to their children as well. So it's crucial to understand what it means because it refers to us as well. Okay, so let's try to understand what it is. What does it mean? Hashem gives a person the power of being a king. And why is it indicated by the letter Hey? We know the then name of Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It has two Heys in it. Yud and then a Hey, and then a Vav and then a Hey. This name of Hashem is the name that indicates the ways Hashem runs this world. In the letter, the first letters of this name are included all the ways that Hashem runs this world. We know that there are different aspects of the way Hashem runs the world of what we call different midot, right? There is chesed, kindness, din, justice, and so on, right? So they are all included in this name because this is the name that means lehavot, to give existence, to bestow, right? The last hey, we are told, indicates the midah, of Malchut. Meaning this says Hashem is the king of this world. He runs the world with the attribute of Malchut, meaning there is a relationship between the world and Hashem of the kind that there is between a king and his nation, right? So when Hashem gives Abraham and Sarah the letter Hey as part of their name, Hashem gives them the ability to become kings of this world. Now, what does it mean to be a king? Right? To be a king means to be the one in charge, to be the one who is responsible for. A king is responsible for his nation. He has to lead them, and to lead them in a way that will be the best for them, physically, spiritually, but he is the leader, right? And he's given the means that he needs in order to do so. Like people will pay him taxes, so he can lead the nation, and so on and so on. So Hashem now tells Abraham and Sarah, I make you responsible for the whole world. It's your job to lead them properly to where they are supposed to be. And as we know, even before Abraham and Sarah, or let me say differently, even before Abraham and Sarai became Abraham and Sarah, they worked in this direction. As we know, they tried to connect the world to Hashem, to its source. Right? Obviously, Hashem created the world, but he's created the world in such a way that the fact that he is the creator could be ignored. He covered up the fact that he is a king in some ways while losing nature, so on, right? So it's possible to be in this world and not to accept him as the king, not to recognize that he's the one who created everything and he's the one in charge, he's the one who is involved in everything, right? But obviously it's the job of people to find him. Right? He hid himself in order to give us the opportunity to find him, to invest in finding him, and in this way to create a connection to him. We can describe it in the following way. This whole world could be compared to a tree that is upside down. The roots are up in Shamayim, they are not seen. And the tree itself is what this world is all about, or looks like. There are different parts to the tree, and many of them, the number of leaves on one tree is tremendous, is a very big number. There are leaves, there are branches, there are fruits, there are flowers, right? You look at the tree without seeing the root. It looks like many independent details. If we don't see the roots, we don't see the connection between the branch and the leaf, between the leaf and the flower and the fruit, right? But obviously, the source of existence, sustenance of the whole tree is one. It's in the roots up there. So Hashem created the world in a way that we can see it without looking at the tree, at the roots. Hashem is not visible in this world with full clarity. But we have to see, we have to discover it. And Abraham and Sarah dedicated their life till they became Abraham and Sarah to do it. They brought guests into their homes, and as we know, famous and known, I won't go into it, via it, they connected people to Hashem. Okay? But at a certain point, a change took place, as we said, and Hashem made them Abraham and Sarah. It's very interesting. When we pray every morning, we mention Abraham in the morning prayer. Besides in Shmona Esrei, when we mention Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in Vayevarech David, David blessed Hashem and said, there is a part in Shacharit, right? So we say there that David says Hashem is the ruler of the world. He is bestowing life, existence to everything and anything. And then it adds that Hashem chose Abraham, took him out of Ur Kasdim. Hashem, I'm sorry, Hashem took Avram, without a hey, took him out of Ur Kasdim and changed his name to Abraham. And then he established a covenant with him, the covenant of circumcision. So it's very interesting that from all the things that we are told about Abraham in the Torah, in the prayer of the morning, this is the point that is mentioned. Hashem added a hey to Abraham's name. And as we know, to Sarah as well. Why is it so significant? Because via doing it, Hashem told Abraham, I am the man, I am the one, I am the king up there. On earth, it's you who is in charge of the whole world, and you have to connect them to me. That's the job of Abraham and Sarah. Now, obviously, this will give a mission to Abraham and Sarah. This will change the nature of the relationship between Hashem, Abraham, and Sarah. So, not much after this takes place, at the end of Lech Lecha, in Parashat Vayera, we hear that the angels come to tell Abraham and Sarah that Yitzchak is going to be born, meaning Hashem is starting to fulfill his promise, a nation will come out of you and it will be a nation of kings. And then the story of Sodom starts. And when we come to the story of Sodom, okay, before Hashem does whatever he's going to do in Sodom, right after the story of the hospitality and Avram is told, Yitzchak is going to be born to you, on page 81, verse number 17, there is something that indicates to us all that we said up till now. It's something that on a superficial level is very bewildering, but now we'll understand it very clearly. Okay, so verse number 17, and Hashem said, shall I conceal from Avram what I do? Now that Avram is surely to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of earth shall bless themselves by him. Hashem wants to destroy Sodom. So he is the master, he is the ruler, he is the one who is capable of doing it. He knows the reasons, he is the judge, and he is the executor. Why does he have to tell Avraham about it? But now we understand it. Avraham is the king here. These are his people, he's the father. Hashem is going to do something with Sodom. Avraham has to know. But not just in order to tell him information. What happens right after? Okay, what happens right after is that Avraham, in verse number 23, Avraham came forward and said, will you also stamp out the righteous along with the wicked? One minute, it's my children. He's trying to save them. He's praying for them. He's trying to find merits for them because he's in charge. Right? So now we understand it. And interestingly enough, between Hashem saying, should I conceal from Abraham? And between the prayer of Abraham, Hashem gives a reason. Why isn't he going to conceal from Abraham? I skipped it. Look at 19. After Hashem says, should I conceal from him? Hashem says, for, there is a reason. Why can't I conceal from him? For I have loved him because he commands his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice in order that Hashem might then bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken to him. Meaning, it's not going to stop with Abraham. A nation is going to come from Abraham. And Abraham will educate them and give them the genes necessary to continue to do צדקה, אין משפט. To continue to do charity and justice, meaning this is the nation in charge. So obviously, they became partners and they have to know, because it's their responsibility. Okay, so let's now see, how do Avram and Sarah fulfill the mission? All the stories that will come after, from now on, have to indicate to us how Avram and Sarah do their job. So let's go back to a king and understand what a king will do, and then we'll see how it expressed itself in the life of Abraham and Sarah. So as we said, a king is in charge of his nation. He's their leader. He has to do whatever it takes to bring them to the best place that they can come to, physically, spiritually, peace, prosperity, education, whatever it is, it's his responsibility. There are two things that a king will do or should do. Every king is looking at his citizens. It's the nation. Every nation has in it different elements. There are good people who are trying their best to live a life the way one should live. But in every nation, there are also people who are not doing what they're supposed to do. Sometimes they don't affect, at least in an obvious way, everybody else. But many times, they are a negative element in the nation that causes negativity to spread among the nation of different kinds and sorts. So what's the job of the king? He should unite all of them around the right values, right, and develop them in a positive way. Sometimes, in good ways, one can draw also those who don't do the right thing to do it. Sometimes by giving them rewards, means, whatever, right? Many ways that one can influence people who don't do the right thing in order to bring them to the right way. But sometimes they have gone too far, like in Sodom. Abraham tried to find a way to bring them back to the right way. What was the discussion between him and Hashem? How many righteous people are there? Why is this so crucial? Because as long as we have enough righteous people in a city like Sodom who could maintain their righteousness in such an environment, there is a hope that they will influence the rest over time, and that's why it's worthwhile to leave them alive. But when Avraham came to the conclusion that we don't have this number of righteous people in Sodom, and it cannot be achieved, he went along with Hashem in another direction. And this is to separate them from the rest of mankind. To kill them, to destroy them. Because if there is no hope for the future, living longer is only going to be for the worse of them too, because it will enable them to have more negativity, not good. Let alone the influence they'll have on others. So we can say that there are two things. In this world, there is a certain separation from Hashem by the very fact that we were created in a physical reality. Right, that we have free choice. Right? So free choice enables a person to separate from Hashem. Right? So the goal is, the aim is to connect him to Hashem via the physical, via the bad inclination, by overcoming temptations that are negative. This is great if it's successful, but at times there will be also a need for separation. And I want to start from First Man and show how Hashem himself did it till the time of Abraham, and then how Abraham and Sarah continue in the ways of Hashem, and how all their life is on one hand trying to unite people around Hashem and connect them to him, vis-a-vis separating those who are dangerous, those that cannot be part of it, at least not to the maximum, to create certain separations. So let's start with Adam HaRishon. At the time of creation, for the first 3 hours of the life of Adam and Chava, there was total unity between man and Hashem, man and creation, man and himself. Man and Hashem. Hashem was walking in the garden, and Adam HaRishon did not even feel overwhelmed. He felt the awesomeness, but he didn't fall on his face. He was sitting straight when Hashem spoke to him. It was a close relationship that is unbelievable. It was a result of the fact that inside him, there was a total unity of the physical and the spiritual. They're both, they're totally subjugated to the will of Hashem. Total harmony inside him. No conflict between good and evil inside him. And he was in total harmony with nature. From animals, our sages say that animals came to him and wanted to praise him the way they praise Hashem, to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh to him. Holy, 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 right? As we praise Hashem, that's how great he was. That's how much godliness they saw when they looked at him. And he directed them to sing to Hashem together. So there was total harmony between him and the animals, between him and the angels. The angels were serving him in Gan Eden, bringing him ready food. He didn't have to do anything. All of nature served him. So there was total harmony. The moment he ate from the tree of knowledge, he and Chava, they created an inner separation between body and soul. Now there were two voices inside him. The total harmony between body and soul was disturbed to a certain extent. And as a result of it, there are separations. First, he separated from his place, his chaste heart of Gan Eden. He's separated from nature. The earth is not doing for him anymore what he did before. He'll have to work very hard in order to get bread. And he's separated to a certain extent from Hashem. When Hashem comes to him after the sin, he hides. He cannot stand in the presence of Hashem because there is a discrepancy, a distance in the relationship that was created via the sin. Now, all these consequences of the sin are for the benefit of men. Because via him feeling these differences, he will aim and long to come back to what he was, and this will enable him to do tshuva. And he did tshuva. But he did not bring reality to its full purity and perfection as it was before the sin. As we know, since Adam, we all die. Death is a separation between body and soul. And only via this separation will come eventually to our perfection and come back to the level of first man before the sin. So in the beginning, there was total unity. Then there was a separation. As a result of the separation, a path towards total unity is paved, and eventually at the times of Mashiach will come there. Okay, now we find separations later on too. I'll bring just one more example from the time before Abraham and Sarah because I want to move to them. The famous story of separation is the story of the Tower of Babel. Right? They united, but for the wrong cause. They separated themselves from Hashem, but united between them. A unity like this cannot exist because it doesn't have truth to it. It's based on physicality, not on spirituality. And physicality, in essence, is a separation. You look at the physical world only, you see details. You don't see the unity. We have to add the spiritual aspect, the godliness that gives life and existence to all the physicality, in order to see the whole Weltes One. Okay, so Hashem separated them. Again, there is a separation. And this separation, again, is a build-up for a path of coming back to Hashem. But in order that it will happen for all the nations, Hashem appointed Abraham, Sarah, and their children as those that will be the catalyst for all nations to eventually get them, to reconnect. Okay, that the concept of to be a light for the nations. Now let's go to Abraham and Sarah and see how they did it. Okay. So let's take some examples. Give me a minute. Okay. When the Torah tells us about the death and the burial of Sarah, the Torah tells us that Sarah was buried in Hebron. We said two details are mentioned. The age, in a particular way that indicates to us that she utilized every moment, and the place of burial. Why is it important? Right? Why does the Torah make a point of telling us that she was buried in Hebron? The word Hebron comes from the root Chet Bet Resh. Chet Bet Resh, like Chaver, a friend, means to connect. Lechaber is to connect. Abraham and Sarah were two people who connected heaven and earth. The place of Hebron, without going into it, why and how, is a place where heaven and earth are the closest to each other. So by being buried in Hebron, by the Torah telling us that they were buried in Hebron, the Torah tells us that they connected heaven and earth. And our sages say it on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. There is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Achot lanu ktana. We have a young sister. Now, as we know, Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, is a parable. It's a way to connect, to describe the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people all along history based on a connection between a man and a woman. So now the woman is still young. Achot lanu ktana, we have a young sister, right? The Midrash gives us the inner meaning. What stage in the history does it describe and how is the wording going together with what the Midrash says? So Achot lanu ktana, the Midrash says, that's Avraham. And the Midrash interprets the word Achot. Achot is a sister. Obviously, my sister is close to me, is connected to me, right? That's the concept of a family member, a connection, right? So Avraham, they say, Icha et kol va'e olam, connected all the people of this world. How did he connect them? By introducing them to Hashem. Because as we said, without Hashem, it's only physicality. And my physicality is in conflict with your physicality. Because physicality is limited. And if I have something, you cannot have it. And then there is jealousy and hatred. How could we have real unity between people when we all recognize Hashem and understand that each and every one of us is assigned to a particular purpose, right? That only we can accomplish. And we got the tools that are suitable for it. So what do I have to do with the tools of other people? I have a different mission. Spirituality gives the ability to connect. So by Abraham Avinu and Sarah, converting people, introducing them to the fact that Hashem is one. Shema Israel, we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. Meaning, look at everything. Sorry. Look at everything that exists. You will see the unity of Hashem. It's not many details. It's Hashem's world, and He's giving existence to all of it. And it's all one. It's all intended to serve the same purpose and can serve the same purpose. Okay? So, Abraham and Sarah did it before They were called Abraham and Sarah. The inverse still, Abram, Sarai, right? On their own, they came to that decision that this is what has to be done, and they did it. But it's fascinating. But this is not the peak of their accomplishments. Now Hashem separates Abraham and Sarah from the rest of the world. The first statement that Hashem tells Abraham is that. And then he tells him to circumcise himself. And Abraham is concerned. Hashem creates a physical separation between him and the rest of the world. How will he influence everybody? And Hashem tells him, this will make you perfect. And your perfection is necessary in order to affect the whole world, meaning the separation for the sake of connection. If you are part of the whole world, you can affect to a certain extent. But it's by the fact that the Jewish nation was created and is different from all nations that the name of Hashem is coming to this world. It's who we are that draws the attention of everybody. And that's the only explanation of the anti-Semitism of people who never saw a Jew in their life. And it's all across the globe for no reason, in places that we contributed so much. But we always draw attention by the very fact that we are different, that we are separated. Our separation from the nation is our essence. So Hashem tells Abraham, yes, circumcise himself, separate from the rest. And from now, we see many acts of separation that Abraham and Sarah take. This circumcision, as we said, then sending away Hagar, then she came back and she had Ishmael, sending away Hagar and Ishmael. What on a superficial level looks cruel. Cruel. Are those the people of Chesed, Abraham and Sarah? That's the ultimate Chesed. It was so difficult for them to do it. In the beginning, Abraham did not want to send away Ishmael. Hashem had to command him to listen to Sarah and do it, because it was a very hard commandment. But at times, there is no way just to separate. Abraham separated from Lot. On one hand, when Hashem told him, leave everything behind and go to the land of Israel, he took Lot. He was the only family member that he took with him. But when Lot behaved in a way that was not right, Abraham separated from him. He told him, I'll care for you. I'll always be there for you. But we cannot be together because it would affect Abraham and his mission. As long as Lot was with him, Hashem did not speak to him. So Lot separated from him. Then came the story of Sodom, and as we said before, Abraham agreed with Hashem that Sodom has to be destroyed. But what did he do? He went to Sodom and separated Lot from them. Again, a separation. But this time, bringing back Lot. And who came out of Lot? Ruth, the Mashiach. So we see a separation that will lead or leads all along history to the coming of Mashiach. Before the story even of Sodom, we have the story of Abraham fighting. Oh, I'm sorry, as part of the story of Sodom, before the destruction, right? We find Abraham fighting for kings. Many people were killed in this war by Abraham. And Abraham was very concerned about the effects that it will have. And Hashem says, don't worry, you'll get reward for it, because it was the right thing to separate these people from society, because they wanted to unite society against Hashem. The head of these four kings that Abraham fought was Nimrod, the one who rebelled against Hashem. So Abraham is there to create a separation again. But as we said, all those separations are ways that via them, a path So unity is created. Stome to be out of the map in order that mankind as a whole will be able to go ahead and fulfill its job. We can compare it to a person who has an infection in a leg and the leg cannot be saved. If the leg will be connected to the body, the whole body won't survive. So there is a need to amputate one part in order to save the body. But not like with the body. It's final. The leg is gone. In what we are discussing, there is a way back in one way or another. Okay? Along the same lines, Hashem promised Abraham the land of Israel, and he promised him children. And Abraham said to Hashem, how will I know that I will really inherit the land? And obviously it was not a problem of faith, right, Abraham, right? What he asked was, what will happen if my children will not follow in my footsteps? Will the covenant be nullified? So Hashem gave Abraham two options, to choose one of the two. He told him, what do you choose for your children if they won't do my will? Do you choose for them Gehenom, punishment in the world to come? Or do you choose for them exile? And Abraham chose exile. And it creates a connection to what we said before, right, to the exile of first men from Gan Eden. Meaning Hashem will spread them, will create a separation between them and the land, between them and the Beit HaMikdash. He'll spread them among the nations. And without going into how it will happen, but via exile, a new path is created that will enable us to come back to the land of Israel and eventually to build the third Beit HaMikdash. It happened partially already after the exile of Babylon. The Jewish people went for 70 years into the exile in Babylon. They accomplished what they had to accomplish via exile, via the separation, and this enabled them to come back to the land of Israel and build the second Beit HaMikdash. But it's not the ultimate redemption yet, but it's a step towards it. Eventually, after the exile, where we are spread all over the world, two things will be accomplished. We will grow via it, sometimes in painful ways, but we will. And we'll give exposure to all nations to what does it mean to be a Jew. Because the ultimate cause for anti-Semitism is jealousy. They see the difference. They know the difference, even between a non-observant Jew and an angel. And that's why anti-Semitism is not just against observant Jewish people, but any Jew. Secular people as well. Because it's who we are, the children of the king, B'nai Melachim, people who are in charge of all of mankind, that, and this they cannot take. Now, even in within the Jewish people, learning from Abraham, at times, great people created a separation. I want to give two recent examples, relatively recent examples. There was the separation of communities at the time of Chatam Sofer, the Chatam Sofer, approximately 300 years ago in Hungary. And there was the separation between the communities at the time of Arav Hirsch in Germany. At the time, all Jewish people were in exile, Germany, Hungary, were registered as one community. And all the needs of the community were given through a leadership group that represented them towards the king or the government, whatever was there, right? And it affected the whole community. When the Reformation started and developed in Hungary, to the extent that it really was dangerous for the Jewish community as a whole. The Chatam Sofer made a very painful decision to get out of the general community and established an Orthodox, truly Torah-devoted community. And via doing it, he saved me. Because as long as they were one community, the influence of the Reform movement spread further and further. There was a need to separate the institution, separate everything, create separate connections to the government, what was not easy to accept for the government, right? A lot was put into it till it was successful, right? But by separating, it saved. And maybe by doing it, we have today Balei Tshuva. If not of a strong Jewish community, it would have never happened. The same in Germany with Arav Hirsch. German Jewry was very assimilated, even more than in Hungary. When Arav Hirsch came to Frankfurt, where he became a rabbi, a town that was in the past, a very famous, big, flourishing Jewish community, Torah community. When he came there, they say there were 11 Shomer Shabbos families. So he took those few people, some say a little more, but definitely not many, and he created a new community, a separate community. He strengthened this community very, very, very much. And after a while, this community, this strong community, affected many and brought them back. Okay, so this is following the footsteps of Abraham. Of course, this kind of decision could be made only by very, very great people, by the leaders, right? Our sages call their top rabbis of the Jewish people kings. They have the responsibility, like Abraham and Sarah, right? And they did it and saved Jewry in this way. We find later on, Rivka did the same thing. She took her own son. Ishmael was not Sarah's son, he was Abraham's son. Here, Yitzchak and Rivka have two sons that both are their children, the children of Yitzchak and Rivka. And she separated Esav from Yaakov. It was the only way to ensure that Yaakov will be able to be whoever he has to be. But what we have to understand is that the main unity or separation and the key to all the others is the inner unity or the inner separation. Since the sin of first man, we have two sides in us. One that pushes us to do the good, and one that pushes us to do evil. We have to separate from the evil and unite with the good. That's why we have mitzvot aseh and mitzvot lo taseh. The positive commandments strengthen the good in us. The negative commandments separate us from evil. The more we do it in the right way, the more harmony we create inside us. The ultimate goal is that the bad inclination will also be utilized in order to serve Hashem. Because if I am presented with something negative and I say no to it, even though I'm tempted, I grow via it. So the bad inclination helps me to become the servant of Hashem. So it's a separation that can lead to the ultimate unity. If I know to whom to say yes and to whom to say no. And that's why we all are children of a king. We all have from Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, the power to say yes to the good, no to the negative, to the bad, unite ourselves fully to create a harmony inside us, between us and Hashem, us and ourselves, or maybe us and ourselves, the inner unity, Then we'll have a unity with Hashem, a unity with the whole world. Because when we do the will of Hashem, fully and completely as we should, all the nation recognize it. That's what happened at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. People came to the land of Israel to learn how to come to such perfection as a country, as people. How to have everything, basically, physically and spiritually, because of this unity that was created inside us. Now, we said, what's the connection between the 127 years of Sarah and the 127 countries that Esther was a queen over? Oh, now we understand it very well. For 127 years, Sarah created inner harmony. She connected heaven and earth. She created it for herself. She created it for all the other people by inviting them to her home. And she obviously created an unbelievable connection to Hashem, right? She became a perfect person. So Sarah worked very hard for it. It wasn't always easy. To send Ishmael wasn't easy. To be by Paro and Avimelech, who were kings who can offer her the whole world, and to say no and remain pure, not only in action, but in thought, in desire, right? It's very, very hard work. But by doing it, she created a nation of queens. Esther became practically a queen over 127 countries. Now, did she want to be the queen? All she wanted was to stay at home with Mordechai, right? And here she is a queen of the physical world as a result of the fact that by being in the palace and with Ahasuerus, she was like Sarah. The story is very similar. She was taken by a king who was not Jewish. Her situation was even harder than Sarah, because Sarah was released by a miracle from the king. She remained till the end of her life in the palace. But she maintained her purity fully and completely all along the way and remained loyal to Hashem. Of course, there is a connection. She's the true queen. And when we are really the way we should be, we won't have problems from the nations too. We'll become also on the physical level kings. I want to add one more point. Many years ago, just before the fall of communism, my husband and myself went to Russia to teach Torah for 2 weeks. They allowed it. It was the end, so they allowed already people to come and teach, even though they were after us all the time. But anyhow, so we were teaching there to people who found somehow Judaism in mysterious ways after 3 generations of communism. And one of the people asked, what will be with Russian Jewry? This generation, he said, obviously has in it children of over 1 million Jewish people who lived in Russia prior to communism, and they know nothing. How will they be reconnected? Obviously, they cannot be blamed. And today it's true for many, many, many Jewish people as well in the free world. It's not a result of force, but it's a result of what happened in the last few hundred years of our history. The answer is that those people who are born without knowledge are born, but means there is something they have to accomplish in their life. They might not come to keep Torah and mitzvot in their lifetime, but they came for a certain mission that they can fulfill. Each one for whatever Hashem assigned him to. It could be doing an act of kindness. It could be being tested in honesty, whatever it will be for each one according to what he is. It might even be that you just have to go through the difficulties of life through their, you know, and purify via it. Endless ways. If they fulfill their mission that they were created for, and they are capable of doing it, they'll be in. And being that all the people in our time and age were already in the past, we are completing past tasks that we didn't fulfill fully and completely. So sometimes what is asked from the person is only one thing, small thing that he can get to. And eventually, all of us, via the separations that happened since the sin of first man till today, and definitely since Abraham and Sarah till today, we'll all come to the place we are supposed to come, as we are promised, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach. None of us will be lost. Every separation that takes place in our private life, on the national level, any separation from the land, separation from other people, difficulties in within ourselves, eventually creates a path that via it, and hopefully in good ways, happy ways, not in difficult ways, will lead us back to recognize that Hashem is the one and the only one, and the route up in heaven is really the real thing, the only real thing that exists. That's what we say when we say Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And interestingly enough, people who had no education in our time and age, in the tunnels in Gaza, came to this sentence on their own under horrible circumstances. And this is what gave them the strength to go ahead. Okay, I'll finish here and open to questions.
Before we open the classes dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. And you should be able to unmute yourselves now.
Hi, I know this really should have been a question for last week, but since we were talking about Avram having the Bris Mila to purify and perfect him, why didn't Sarah need any kind of physical correction on her part?
Because she was created for a different task, and whatever Brit Mila accomplished for Abraham, she was born
Okay, thank you.
with. Okay. It's also, there is something very interesting that I want to add. After giving birth at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there are days of impurity for the mother. Days that she cannot go into the Beit HaMikdash. And at the end of them, she has to immerse in a mikveh, whatever, do certain things, bring certain offerings, and then she can come to the Beit HaMikdash. By a boy, if she had a boy, it's only 33 days. If she had a girl, it's 66 days. One of the explanations to it is that when a mother brings her child to the Brit, she needs half the time in order to go back to the Beit HaMikdash, meaning the experience of taking a baby that was just born, who is 8 days old, and giving him happily for circumcision. She accomplishes what 33 days accomplish, right? And that's why she needs half the time. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, so have a good week. I'll see you in a week. Call to.
Thank
you
you.
So much.